5月16日，
May 16th.
莫迪在欧洲五国访问的第二站，荷兰海牙，面对当地的印度侨民发表了一个讲话。
Modi's second stop in his European tour was The Hague, Netherlands, where he gave a speech to the local Indian diaspora.
英国的《金融时报》直接把他的讲话定性为末日预言。
The Financial Times of the UK directly characterized his speech as a doomsday prophecy.
莫迪都说了些什么呢？
What did Modi say?
他核心的意思是这样的。
The core meaning is as follows.
这十年正在变成人类的灾难。
These 10 years have become a disaster for humanity.
十年。
10 years.
先是新冠疫情重创全球。
First, the COVID-19 pandemic severely impacted the world.
随后，各地战争冲突接连爆发。
Subsequently, a series of wars and conflicts broke out across the regions.
如今
Nowadays,
全球又深陷能源危机，多重危机叠加。
The world is once again trapped in a crisis of multiple overlapping energy crises.
如果人类不及时行动，
If humans don't act in time,
过去几十年
In the past few decades,
全球的发展成果将会彻底归零。
The achievements of the world will be completely wiped out.
全球大量人口将重新被打回贫困状态。
A large number of people around the world will be pushed back into poverty.
莫迪真的是在告警事件吗？
Is Modi really warning?
才不是呢。你把世界、人类、全球这样的字眼换成印度。
It's not like you're replacing words like world, human, and global with India.
这才是他这次讲话真正的对象。
This is the real target of his speech.
莫迪看似说世界，其实全在说印度。这番讲话根本就是给自己的免责声明。
Modi's statement that the world is actually saying that India is just a disclaimer.
也是给印度人打的一针预防针。
It's also a vaccine for Indians.
如果整个世界都将陷入系统性崩溃，
If the entire world is about to fall into a systemic collapse.
很多人要集体返贫的话，
If many people are about to fall into poverty,
那印度也将发生灾难。
India will also face disaster.
这可不是我的责任。
This is not my responsibility.
也不是咱们印度人不行。
We Indians are not bad either.
整个世界都是牛粪窝。
The whole world is a pigsty.
我们也要住牛粪窝了。
We're also going to raise cows.
这都正常。
This is normal.
这把三哥有功劳是自己的，出了事儿。
This is because the elder brother has done something wrong.
跟自己无关的。
Relevant to oneself.
德行显露无遗。
The virtues are clearly revealed.
莫迪在外面口头告警。
Modi's verbal warning outside.
印度政府立刻就在内部采取实际行动。
The Indian government immediately took practical action internally.
要求全民勒紧裤腰带。
Ask everyone to tighten their belts.
减少能源与物资消耗。
Reduce energy and material consumption.
鼓励居家办公。
Encourage remote work.
压缩财政开支，
Reduce fiscal spending.
被告警的世界还没有任何反应呢。
The police world has not yet responded.
印度就开始极限生存了。
India has begun to live in extreme survival.
这跟几个月以前
This is similar to a few months ago.
莫迪政府到处狂吹印度是全球经济黑马，韧性最强。
The Modi government has been touting India's resilience as the strongest global economic black horse.
增速第一。
The fastest growth.
这个反差也太大了。
This contrast is too great.
说到底。
Ultimately,
濒临崩溃的不是这个世界。
The world is not on the verge of collapse.
而是印度。这个国家内部的脆弱的结构性缺陷。
Instead, the vulnerability of India's internal structural defects.
正在被一次外部的地缘冲突。
Caught in a once-in-a-lifetime external geopolitical conflict.
意外引爆。
Unexpected explosion.
一，贫忧的三哥可能是世界上最大的贫忧国。
The third son of the poorest family could be the richest family in the world.
咱们都知道中国算是个贫忧国。
We all know that China is a country with a shortage of oil.
对吧
?Right?
目前全球已探明的石油储量大约是2400亿吨。
Currently, the estimated proven oil reserves in the world are about 2.4 billion tons.
中国大约是 35.5 亿吨。
China is about 35.5 billion tons.
所以中国是贫油国。
Therefore, China is an oil poor country.
关于石油储量。
Regarding oil reserves.
这个数值。
This number.
各国有自己的官方口径。
Each country has its own official statement.
还有一个是 BP 世界能源年鉴的国际口径。
Another one is the International Statistics of BP World Energy Yearbook.
刚才我说的那个 35.5 亿吨是国际口径。
Just now I mentioned that 35.5 billion tons is the international standard.
中国官方的口径是 38.5 亿吨。
According to official statements from China, the amount is 38.5 billion tons.
中间有3亿吨的差值。
There is a difference of 300 million tons.
国际上不太认可。
Not widely recognized internationally.
但是这个差值已经很小很小了。
However, this difference is very small.
说明世界还是基本相信中国官方的数据的。
The world generally still believes in the data provided by the Chinese government.
咱们看看印度。
Let's take a look at India.
那笑话就大了。
That's a big relief.
印度说，我们有42亿吨的石油储量，比中国还多一些。世界能源年鉴就。
According to India, we have more oil reserves than China with a total of 42 billion tons.
我说呀，三哥你。
Tell me, brother.
你可别闹啊。
Don't mess with me.
你的石油储量就只有 6.79 亿吨，给你算7亿吨好了。
Our oil reserves are only 6.79 billion tons, let's say 7 tons for now.
为什么会有这么大差距呢？
Why is there such a big difference?
一般各国政府宣布的石油储量口径比较宽松。
Generally, the oil reserves announced by governments in various countries are relatively loose.
它包含了一部分受成本和工艺限制。
It includes some parts that are limited by cost and technology.
暂时还无法开采的石油。
Oil that cannot be extracted yet.
但是 BP 世界能源年鉴的口径比较保守。
However, the BP World Energy Review has a conservative approach.
只统计当前技术和成本条件下可以开采的石油。
Only count the oil that can be extracted under the current technology and cost conditions.
这些是当下真正有市场价值。
These are truly valuable in the current market.
能够影响市场航行的储量。
Can affect the market's sailing capacity.
中国的官方口径和国际口径差值只有3亿吨。
The difference between China's official figures and international figures is only 30 million tons.
那说明国际上是认可中国的采油技术和成本控制能力的。
That means that internationally, China's oil extraction technology and cost control capabilities are recognized.
基本上可以把已勘探到的原油都开采出来。
In principle, all the oil that has been discovered can be extracted.
印度的官方口径和国际口径差值很大。
There is a significant difference between India's official statements and international perceptions.
那就是说国际上不相信印度的采油技术和成本控制能力。
That means that internationally, there is a lack of trust in India's oil exploration technology and cost control capabilities.
能够把你勘探到的石油都开采出来。
To be able to extract all the oil you can explore.
况且，你印度是不是真的勘探了还存疑呢？
Besides, isn't the fact that India has actually conducted exploration still in doubt?
中国官方声称的 38.5 亿吨的石油储量是建立在每年都投入超过300亿美元进行全国油气勘探的情况下给出的数字。
According to official Chinese figures, the 3.85 billion tons of oil reserves are based on the annual investment of over $300 million in nationwide exploration.
印度一年油气勘探费不超过30亿美元。
India's annual game exploration cost is no more than $300 million.
十年都抵不上中国一年的投入。
10 years is not as good as 1 year of investment in China.
干得少。
Less pride.
吹得多。
Blow a lot.
那国际上当然是无法完全采信。
Of course, this cannot be fully accepted internationally.
印度的官方数据了。
According to official data from India,
其实最好的证据是现在的石油产量。
The best evidence is the current oil production.
印度最大的油田拉贾斯坦邦的巴莫油田巅峰时期一天产量也就只有18万桶。跟中国大型油田常年稳定。
The largest oil field in India, the Barmer oil field in Rajasthan, has a daily output of only 180,000 barrels during the peak period, while large-scale oil fields in China have a stable output.
日产超过100万桶。
Nissan exceeds 1 million barrels.
比起来，也就是个零头。
It's just a leftover.
而且印度的主力油田全是老油田。
Moreover, India's main oil fields are all old oil fields.
区域枯竭，产量是逐年衰减的。
The regional output is declining year by year.
巴莫油田的产量已经连续五年下降。
The oil production of the BAM oil field has been declining for 5 consecutive years.
其他中小油田更是一个比一个惨。
Other small oil fields are even worse.
自己产不了。
Can't produce it myself.
那就只能买呀。
Then I can only buy it.
印度是全球最大的石油进口依赖国。
India is the world's largest oil importing country.
印度每年的石油总需求量是 2.66 亿吨。
India's total oil demand is 266 million tons per year.
但是能够自产的石油每年只有2870万吨。
However,The amount of oil produced domestically each year is only 28.7 million tons.
缺口高达 2.37 亿吨。
The gap is as high as 2.37 billion tons.
进口依赖度高达89%。
Import dependence is as high as 89%.
你说贫油就一定会造成能源安全问题？
You say that a lack of oil will inevitably lead to energy security problems.
以至于在战略层面影响国家安全吗？
To the extent that it affects national security at the strategic level.
不一定。
Not necessarily.
那要看你是不是真的有一个大国的战略眼光和切实行动。
That depends on whether you truly have a strategic vision and concrete actions for a major power.
二，三哥的能源安全。
My brother's energy security.
光说不练假把式。作为一个石油矿藏丰度不够的人口大国，
As a country with a large population but lacking in oil reserves.
石油进口多一些是正常的。
It is normal to import more oil.
中国石油的进口依赖度也是高达72%呢。
China's import dependence on oil is as high as 72%.
但关键在于，中国知道自己的弱点在哪儿。
But the key is that China knows its own weaknesses.
会提前进行战略布局。
Will conduct strategic planning in advance.
提高抗风险能力。
Enhance resilience.
首先
First,
中国努力保证自产石油的稳健增长。
China is working to ensure steady growth in its domestic oil production.
过去十年
Over the past decade,
中国自产石油以每年 2% 到 3% 的增幅稳定增长。
China's self-produced oil has been steadily increasing at a rate of 2% to 3% per year.
2025年
2025,
中国自产石油是 2.16 亿吨。
China's self-produced crude oil is 216 million tons.
占全年石油消耗量的 27.3%。
Accounts for 27.3% of the total annual oil consumption.
你要问中国最大的石油供应国是谁？
Who is the largest oil supplier in China?
答案就是中国自己。
The answer is China itself.
中国始终把能源的大盘放在自产石油这。
China has always prioritized self-produced oil in its energy strategy.
这一边
On the other hand,
大家不要觉得 27% 的石油自给率还不够高。
Don't think that a self-sufficiency rate of 27% in oil is not high enough.
在全球顶级工业国中
Among the top industrial countries in the world,
这属于碾压级的高水平了。
This is a level of crushing high level.
除了比美国低之外，
In addition to being of lower quality than those in the United States,
完全吊打欧洲
dominate Europe completely,
日韩等传统工业国
Japan, South Korea, and other traditional industrial countries.
三哥这么多年来一直痴心妄想
For so many years, my elder brother has been obsessed with a delusion.
想成为和中国一样的工业大国。
I want to become an industrial powerhouse like China.
但是在能源战略上
However, in terms of energy strategy,
却完全没有中国这样的能源自主意识。
However, there is no such energy independence awareness as in China.
三哥自产石油每年只有2870万吨。
My brother's self-produced oil is only 2,870,000 tons per year.
并且连续七年是不断下降的。
And it has been declining for 7 consecutive years.
再过几年。
In a few years.
印度自产石油的量啊。
India's self-produced oil.
恐怕就只有中国的零头了。
I guess I'm just left with the scraps.
如果自产石油不行
If self-produced oil is not possible,
依赖进口石油
Depend on imported oil,
你作为一个大国
As a major power,
不就得从战略高度分散一下供应链的风险吗？
Don't you need to disperse the supply chain risks from a strategic perspective?
三个最大的供油国是俄罗斯，占比接近 40%。
The three largest oil-producing countries are Russia, accounting for nearly 40%.
其次是中东五国。
Secondly, the five Middle Eastern countries.
合计占比接近 50%。
The total percentage is close to 50%.
这两个加起来就占了印度进口石油。
Together, they account for the majority of India's oil imports.
差不多90%了。
Almost 90% complete.
可是这两大来源都是地缘风险高度集中的地区。
However, both of these two sources are regions with highly concentrated geopolitical risks.
中东一声炮响
A gunshot in the Middle East.
霍尔木兹海峡每天停运上千万桶原油
The Strait of Hormuz transports over 10 million barrels of oil every day.
俄罗斯那边俄乌冲突还看不到头。
The conflict between Russia and Ukraine seems to have no end in sight.
西方对俄罗斯的制裁是有增无减的。
Western sanctions against Russia are increasing.
印度面临着欧美的二级制裁。
India is facing secondary sanctions from the US and Europe.
卢比和卢布的结算也可能随时失灵。
The settlement of rubles and rubles may also fail at any time.
远洋运输成本与保费也是暴涨的。
The cost of overseas transportation and insurance premiums have also soared.
俄罗斯也可能因为战争而被迫削减供应能力。
Russia may also be forced to reduce its supply capacity due to the war.
对于这一系列风险
Regarding these risks,
中国是早就看明白了的。
China has already figured it out.
所以中国在能源安全上一直在做除法。
Therefore, China has been continuously working on energy security.
我们的总能源盘子是被除数。
Our total energy is the denominator.
供应方是除数。
The supplier is a divisor.
除数越多越好。
The more divisors, the better.
中俄油气管道、中哈油气管道、中缅油气管道、海陆并举。
China, Russia, and Myanmar all have oil and gas pipelines, and China also has oil and gas pipelines with India and Bangladesh.
中东波动了。
The Middle East is in turmoil.
还有俄罗斯。
Also Russia,
俄罗斯波动了。
Russia is fluctuating.
还有中亚。
Also Central Asia,
非洲。
Africa,
美洲也能补充。
Also the Americas.
最关键的是，能源供应的大头在自己家里，外面的波动完全可以靠自己的增产和战略储备去应对。
The most important thing is that the major part of energy supply can be completely dealt with by increasing production and strategic reserves at home.
你说三哥想过这些事吗？
Have you thought about these things, older brother?
还真想过。2017年，印度的石油部就提出过能源多元化的方案。
I really thought about the energy diversification plan proposed by the Indian Ministry of Petroleum in 2017.
但是十年来基本是原地踏步。
However, for the past 10 years, it has been essentially stagnant.
为什么呢？
Why?
不是三哥。
Not my brother.
不想，是三哥。
Don't be the third brother.
实在没有战略执行的能力。
There is no strategic execution capability.
首先
First,
三哥距离中东太近了。
My brother is too close to the Middle East.
廉价又优质的原油家门口就有卖，不到万不得已。
Affordable and high quality crude oil is available right at your doorstep, but if you absolutely need it,
谁会去舍近求远呢？
Who would go to a nearby place for something far away?
所以三哥 50% 的石油是从中东进口的。
Therefore, 50% of the oil from my elder brother comes from the Middle East.
又近又便宜。
Close and cheap.
还有 40% 是从俄罗斯进口。
40% of the imports come from Russia.
那就是万不得已。
That's the last resort.
因为无论从能源安全
Because regardless of energy security,
还是从地缘政治的角度上来看
From a geopolitical perspective,
印度都需要购买俄罗斯的石油。
India needs to buy oil from Russia.
可是印度和俄罗斯远隔高原大漠，中间不是敌国。
However, India and Russia are separated by a plateau and desert, and they are not enemies.
就是战乱之地。
It's a war-torn area.
根本就没有建设陆上油气管道的条件。
There are no conditions for building onshore oil and gas pipelines.
所以印度购买俄罗斯的石油
Therefore, India buys oil from Russia.
只能海运。海运有三条线。
Only sea freight, there are three shipping lines.
东线是经白令海峡穿越太平洋过马六甲海峡到印度。西线是绕欧洲。过地中海。
The eastern route is to cross the Pacific Ocean through the Bering Strait, then through the Strait of Malacca to the Indian Ocean. The western route is to go around Europe through the Mediterranean Sea.
经苏伊士运河穿越红海到印度。西线。
After the Suez Canal connects to the Red Sea,
还有一个备用线。
There is also a spare line.
就是如果中东乱起来
If the Middle East goes up in flames,
那就不经过苏伊士运河了
Then it wouldn't go through the Suez Canal.
绕非洲好望角穿越印度洋到印度
Go around Africa through the Cape of Good Hope across the Indian Ocean to India.
但是三哥这个能源布局啊看起来是很多元。
However, the energy layout of the third brother seems to be very diversified.
但其实非常脆弱。
But in fact, it is very fragile.
这是一个完全以海运为基础的能源布局。
This is a completely sea-based energy layout.
如果没有强大的海权做依托
Without a strong navy to rely on,
印度的大国梦是很容易从能源安全这里就破功的。
India's grand dream of becoming a major power is easily shattered by energy security.
所以美伊战争一打响
So, when the US-Iraq war broke out,
霍尔木兹海峡一紧张，国际油价从每桶70美元飙到120美元。
The price of oil in the Strait of Hormuz has risen from $1.70 to $1.120 per barrel.
印度进口原油的成本一夜之间就暴涨了 70%。
The cost of imported crude oil in India has skyrocketed by 73% overnight.
哥啥也没干。
Nothing was done.
别人打架。
Someone is fighting.
飞出的砖头石块
The flying brick, the flying stone
就把他砸了个半死
He beat him to death
印度的能源安全战略就像一个瓷盘子很漂亮
India's energy security strategy is like a beautiful porcelain plate
也很易碎
Also very fragile
更要命的是
More importantly
印度的石油战略储备只有9到12天，进口。
India's oil strategic reserve is only 9 to 12 days of import.
如果完全中断的话
，if completely interrupted,
三哥连半个月都停不了。
My brother has been unable to stop for half a month.
以后就只能烧牛粪了。
Then we can only burn cow dung.
好消息是牛粪。
Good news is that cow dung.
有的是。
Yes.
所以莫迪政府现在面临一个绝境。
Therefore, the Modi government is now facing a dead end.
国际高油价，要不要买？不买。
Should I buy or not, depending on the international high oil prices?
国内立刻就断供，买外汇储备。
Immediately stop buying foreign exchange reserves.
就像被割了动脉一样的往外飙血。
It's like having an artery severed and bleeding profusely. 3.
失去了三哥，能源与外汇的双杀。
Lost three brothers, energy and foreign exchange double kill.
咱们给三哥算一笔账啊。
Let's calculate a sum for the third brother.
三哥每年进口2.37亿吨的石油。
My elder brother imports 2.37 billion tons of oil every year.
按现在每桶120美元算啊。
Based on the current price of $120 per barrel,
相当于一年要多花800到1000亿美元。
This would cost between $800 billion and $1 trillion per year.
三哥每年的贸易逆差大概是2500亿美元左右。
My brother's trade deficit is about $25 billion every year.
这油价一飙吧
，If the oil price goes up，
凭空就多出来
，out of nowhere，
一年大几百亿的逆差，搞不好
，with a trade deficit of hundreds of billions of dollars a year， it's not a problem。
今年可能就要冲3000亿的逆差去了。
This year the trade deficit may reach 3 trillion。
可是。三哥一共才有多少外汇储备啊
？But how much foreign exchange reserves does the elder brother have in total？
2025年末有5600亿美元。
In late 2025, it will be worth $560 billion.
你看看里外里，这钱够烧吗
？Look, is there enough money to spend inside and outside？
多花的那些钱要买的都是油。
All the money spent on flowers will be used to buy oil.
那也就忍了。
Then I just gave up.
关键不只是油价涨啊。
The key isn't just the rise in oil prices.
运费和保险费也暴涨。
Shipping and insurance costs have also soared.
根据全口径。综合成本测算啊
，Based on a comprehensive cost assessment，
在美伊战争以前
，Before the Iran-Iraq War，
每桶原油的运费加保费常态成本是2.3到2.8美元。
The normal cost of transporting a barrel of crude oil, including freight and insurance, is between $2.3 and $2.8.
每桶，战争发生之后
，After each war，
每桶原油的运费加保费，冲突峰值达到了9到17美元。
The peak conflict between freight and insurance costs per barrel reached $9 to $17.
每桶，整体成本暴涨了300%到500%。
The overall cost per barrel has increased by 300% to 500%.
现在是暂时停火了。
Now it is a temporary ceasefire.
成本回落了一些。
The cost has decreased a bit.
但还是高达6.5到10美元。
but it still costs from $6.5 to $10.
每桶比战前还是高了 180% 到 260%。
Each barrel is 180 to 260% higher than before the war.
冲突什么时候结束?
When will the conflict end?
没人知道。
No one knows.
所以这个成本暴涨几乎不可能短期回落。
Therefore, this cost surge is unlikely to fall back in the short term.
就算美伊彻底停战。
Even if the Americans completely cease hostilities,
国际原油也很难回到战前的低成本。
International crude oil is also difficult to return to pre-war low prices.
因为中东的地缘风险已经被全球的保险公司系统性的重新评估过。
Because the geopolitical risks in the Middle East have been systematically reevaluated by global insurance companies.
保险公司在经历了大额理赔之后
After the insurance company experienced a large amount of claims,
会永久性上调高危航道的基础保费。
A high-risk channel's base premium will be permanently increased.
这对完全依赖海运来平衡国内石油缺口的印度来说
For India, which relies entirely on sea freight to balance its domestic oil shortage,
绝对不是个好消息。
This is definitely not good news.
保能源还是保外汇
Energy or foreign exchange,
现在成了三个无法两全其美的难题。
Now it has become a three-way dilemma.
要保国内能源安全
To ensure domestic energy security,
就得花大笔外汇购买严重溢价的石油和天然气。
Then you have to spend a lot of foreign currency to buy oil and gas with a serious premium and high price.
要想保外汇不大量流失，三哥就要面临国内的安全冲击。
To prevent a large amount of foreign exchange from flowing out, the three areas must face internal security challenges.
可能就不只是能源问题了。
It may not just be an energy issue.
买油的钱是钱。
The money for buying oil is money.
那每年需要进口化肥。
That requires importing fertilizers every year.
进口机械
Imported machinery.
进口电子产品
Imported electronic products.
进口食用油
Import edible oil.
进口煤炭哪一样不需要外汇啊
Which imported coal doesn't need foreign currency.
所以印度次大陆正在酝酿一场风暴。
So, the storm is brewing in South India.
能源安全结构性断裂
Structural breakdown of energy security
只是这场风暴最先暴露的一个诱因
This was just the first trigger of the storm.
除此之外
In addition
粮食安全
Food security
移民问题
Immigration issues
内部矛盾都正在像强对流云团一样向三哥走近。
The internal contradictions are all rushing towards the third brother like a strong convection cloud.
莫迪为什么要在海外发表对全世界的告警
？Why did Modi give a warning to the world and overseas?
他就是看到了这些危机可能要共振了。一个14亿人口的大国
，He saw.That these crises could resonate with a country of 1.4 billion people.
被重重危机共振
Resonating with multiple crises.
那可是非常可怕的
That's really scary.
所以莫迪告警世界也不是全然没有道理
Therefore, Modi's warning to the world is not entirely without reason.
因为印度精英阶层已经形成了一种策略性的认知。
The elite class in India has formed a strategic cognition.
我们要是好不了
If we can't get better.
你们谁也好不了。
You're not as good as me.
我们能甩你们一身的屎。
We can throw your shit away.
三哥要甩给国际社会的最大麻烦。
The biggest trouble that the eldest brother will bring to the international community is...
就是我们下一期的主题，粮食问题。
That's the topic for our next issue, food.